The Bible says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. And Lord, we just thank you for who you are. And Lord, we thank you for your word and how it leads us and guides us. And Lord, how it helps us in developing a deeper relationship with you. So teach us about trust. Teach us about obedience. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, about, 5 or 6 years ago, I had told a story when I was preaching, and I talked about Kama Sutra ice cream. And just talked about what a wonderful ice cream that it was. And later in the week, a lady came to the church, and she brought a bag full of these pints of Kama Sutra ice cream. And she came to my office. She goes, "Do you know where Pastor Keith is?" Because I mentioned that Keith liked it in the sermon. And so I said, "I'm not sure where he's at." And she goes, "I want you to give this to him." And then she reached in the bag and pulled out one and said, "And I want you to have one too." You're missing an entire point, lady. You see, she must have had 15 pints of that ice cream. And she read, we don't need any more commentary from you. I can handle it. I've done this a few times. I'm kidding, Miss Linda. No, I'm not. Now, she brings like 15 pints of Kama Sutra ice cream, and she wants to give it to Keith, but she wants me to have one. And knowing the extremely deep and close friendship that Keith and I have, that we share, that we used to share. I just told him, I said, "Hey, I'm supposed to give you all this ice cream, and I get this one." And I said, "What do you think about that?" And he takes the bag and says, "It's one more than you had." So anyway, after some therapy and stuff like that, our relationship's starting to get back on track, so it's good. This passage of Scripture, a guy gets 5 talents, a guy gets 2 talents, and a guy gets 1 talent. And rarely do we really get, I think, to the meaning of what it's all about. Because immediately we are already categorizing which of these three we think we are. And because there are any 5 talent people here, let me hear you. Of course, they just don't want to be prideful, right? Any 2 talents?
Yes.
All right. I think you're overestimating yourself. In case you don't know, Linda's on the baptism team, so we work together every Wednesday, every Sunday, and I've been trying to get her off for years, but that's where some of this comes from. Oh, I do know what I'd do without you. I dream about it. No. All right, no more, Linda. That's enough for me and you. That's enough. So so probably people would say, "Yeah, hey, maybe I'm a 2-talent person." And then when you ask, are there any 1-talent people here? Okay, let's see. So the response didn't go as I thought, but it went in exact order I thought. I thought there might be 1 or 2 people who would say, "Hey, you know what? I can't help it. I'm 5-talent. I'm sorry." Right? Because we do, if you think you're 5-talent, you do feel like you need to apologize for it. I mean, that's one of the temptations of being a 5-talent person, is you feel bad about it. But what we miss in the story is, what talent guy was this guy before Jesus gave him 5?
Zero.
Zero. So this guy couldn't be walking around, "Hey, look, I'm pretty good." He hadn't done anything. Those 5 talents were given to him. And I think it's part of what we miss in the story. If you've got 5 talents, it's okay to say you've got 5 because you didn't have anything to do with it. It was God. And any celebration of having 5 talents is ultimately really a celebration of God. And most people you know, feel like they're a two-talent. They wouldn't admit it, but they'd say, I'm a two-talent. But the reason they would say that is because they feel like that would be more humble than saying they're five-talent. But once again, what was the two-talent guy before he was given two talents? Nothing. He was just like the other guy, right? And what I did think would happen tonight, I thought it would happen on a larger scale. And that's why we were doing a special web presentation of the service tonight. You all ruined that. People are pretty quick to say, oh, I'm one talent. And there's almost a pride in it. I'm one talent. And the pride comes from, I wouldn't dare say I'm a five talent or a two talent. You know, I'm a one. And there was nothing wrong. When you read the story, there was nothing wrong with being the one talent. Because what was that guy before the one talent? He had nothing. He had nothing. And he was given one. Because as you read the story, there was an equal expectation for each of the three, right? Now, we do know from the story, the talents were given based on ability, right? They still had no talents before they were given them, but it was based on ability. And we know that whatever ability is there, it's given by God. Now, let me just dispel just a few things, you know, because we kind of live in an era of time where it's just kind of become the end thing to do to be down on people who've been very successful, right? However that success is measured in wealth or whatever it is. But there's something, and you know these people, right? It's just somebody, you could take everything they have. You could just take it away from them, right? And drop them in the middle of a city with nothing but their underwear on. And what are you going to have a year later? Somebody super successful, right? And they're just kind of wired that way, you know? And here's my thing about it. God made them that way, right? So, I mean, so any celebration of that is a celebration of what God has done. But I want you to know something. There was something about before the master leaves and he gives one five and he gives one two and he gives the other one. His expectation of them was equal, right? I mean, you kind of get from reading that basically what the first two did, what did they do? I know I may be getting ahead of myself because I haven't read this far yet. Let's just read it. How about that? You guys want to read it? No? Okay. I'm going to read it. So the man who had received the five talents went a few days later. Is anybody reading with me Matthew 25? Do they got it up there? Yeah, okay. Does it say that? You are so quiet tonight. Just kind of chill. You were commanded to be quiet. But yeah, everybody else, feel free. What does the Bible say? The man who had received the five talents went a few days later, a year later, when he felt like it, at once. That tells us a lot about this person already, doesn't it? They went at once, right? The man who had received five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also, the one with two talents gained two more. And so what we see in these two people is the master's entrusted them. What they were entrusted with, now everybody listen to this, what they were entrusted with was irrelevant. It wasn't important. It wasn't the deal, right? What was important, what was relevant, is what they did with what they had. Now, I think in our culture, if everybody was really honest, for a lot of us, it's kind of hard to kind of really understand the guy with five talents and the guy with two. It's kind of hard to understand that. But so many of us just relate so perfectly to the third guy. Listen to what the Bible says here. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. The Bible says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Don't forget that line. Okay? Let me read it again. I will put you in charge of many things because you've been faithful, right? Everybody got that? The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of a few more things. What? Y'all got to interact with me.
Many things.
He said the same thing to the 2-talent guy as he did to the 5-talent guy. Because I think the impression that we want to get is the 5-talent guy, he was somehow, what he did was the most rewarded. And it's probably because it's a sequence story. And so we tell him in sequence, and man, here's the 5-talent guy. He got 5 more. Like, oh, that's incredible, right? Are you with me? And then, oh, and then there's the 2-talent guy. He got 2 more. And we even say it. The inflection of our voice is, and you know, it's not 5, but man, it's good. But he did exactly what the first guy did, didn't he? He doubled it. But when we tell the story, there's almost a hierarchy that we build into the story, that the guy with the 5 talents did the best, then the 2-talent guy, and then there was the 1-talent guy. But that's not how the story's told. It's not told. If it's told as a sequence at all, there's just 2 sequences. There's a 5 and 2-talent guy as one part, and the 1-talent guy as the other. Because the point of the story is to be faithful with what you have. Now, here's a couple things, a story that we know for sure from reading this. And that's this. Everybody's been given at least a talent. Everybody. Because there's not a guy in the story who didn't get anything. Then how would you preach this? And then there was the 4th guy. And he got nothing. How do you preach that? Except, and some of you here, you may be that guy. Sorry. But the Bible telling us about 3 guys who were given however many allotments of talent, they all got something. And I think the powerful part of this story in the preaching of it is that we've all been given something, right? All of us have. The story also tells us that whatever you've been given, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, there's an expectation of the master that talent will be used, right? And so I always love to say, this is the one life that you've been given to live for the glory of God. This is it. God's given you one life. This is it. And you have at least a talent in this life. It's something that God has given you. Now, here's the thing. The 5-talent guy can't boast in having 5 talents. The 2-talent guy can't boast in having 2 talents. The 1-talent guy can't boast in having 1. What Keith said to me, that I had 1 more pint of Kama Sutra than I had before the bag made its way into the church, is absolutely true, right? Because sometimes we want to turn this into a story of fairness. Why would God give 5? Why would God give 2? The reason that I think it's a tough passage to preach is because it's hard to get everybody beyond the point of wondering why they don't have 5 or thinking about the people that do. Don't we do that? I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world to do. You ever walk in somebody's house? Anybody ever have this experience? You walk into somebody's house and you walk in, you're like, oh my goodness, this is so nice. Or like for me, I'm like, wow, this is so clean. How do they do it, right? And what do we tell ourselves? They're better than me. That's right. You get in your car. I went to pick up some dry cleaning. And you know, when you pull up through the drive-thru, they'll put your clothes in the back of the car. I didn't know this. And it happened before I could stop it from happening because I knew what was in the back seat. I knew that about a month ago, apparently, somebody used my car to buy a gallon of milk. And whoever it was, and if I ever find him, I'll kill him, right? I'm the only one that drives my car. But whoever it was left that gallon of milk in the back seat. Oh, I'm going to kill him, right? And I don't stumble upon it until nearly passing out one morning after it was about 92 degrees all day. And I get in. I'm looking for a corpse, right? Somebody's died in my, where's the body? And then I do what I think, honestly, any man would do. I bought two bottles of Febreze. I just unscrewed the top of one of them. Gulp, 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 gulp. And then sprayed all around the other. And that lasted as long as the drive did, right? So I get to the drive, and the lady, she swings open the door, and you could just tell she was trying not to have a reaction. She's like, she got weak-kneed. I had to get out and help her. When she opens the door, I hear kabonk, 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 and I'm looking, and there's cans rolling and bottles, and I'm so sorry. And I just think, I'm horrible. Everybody's better than me, right? I mean, we think those things. You know, right before I come here on Wednesday night, I'll run in the bathroom, and I know you won't believe this, but I comb my hair, right? And then and it might be one of those days where you're having a good hair day. Is there nothing like a good hair day? And then I run into Keith. Because you know all he does is get out of bed in the morning and go straight to work. I spend hours on this, you know? And you just think, I'm awful. I'm horrible. Whatever it is, that's what we do. And that's what we do with this story. That's exactly what we do with it. You hear the story, there's five talents, there's two talents, there's one talent. Most of us are just thinking, oh gosh, I'm one talent, maybe. But it's not the point of the story. Matter of fact, the story is illustrated in such a way, Jesus tells the story in such a way as to say, you've all got a talent. And if I had different expectations for your talent, that might be the evidence of some being better than others. But whatever I give, that's what I give. Even if it's based on ability, I give it. But here's the thing, my expectation is equal. How could Jesus' expectation be equal? The guy that had five made five more. The guy that had two made two more. How can Jesus have that expectation? Because here's the thing. Has anybody ever just prayed for more, whatever it is? Anyone? Wow. I don't know why you're even at church then. You're so holy. I pray for more all the time. Yep. All the time. I mean, when I'm leaving the dry cleaners, I'm like, oh, Lord, if you would just give me a clean car, as if the condition of my car has nothing to do with me, right? Or nothing that I could do anything about. And I just think, if I just had something different, right? If I had more, you know, if I had something nicer, I'd be more motivated to keep it clean. Anyone? I'd do that. I just want more. And I think part of what we see, do you know why the Bible says that what he gave them according to their ability? We take that immediately as one's better than the other, but I think there's a deeper truth that's here in why Jesus did that. Because if the guy that had been given two had been given five, he would have freaked out. He wouldn't have known what to do with it. He wouldn't have known how to handle it, right? Do you see that? Has that ever happened to anybody? You've just prayed and prayed for that promotion. And maybe the very grace of God is that you don't get it because that's your life will end in a divorce or something crazy, you know. And God is giving you what you can handle, what you can be faithful with. But by God's estimation, one isn't more than the other because it's not measured on amount. It's measured on faithfulness. That what God has given you, he expects us at once to go and put it to work. How do we know? When do we know that the timing is right for us to begin to put that at work? Say it louder. As soon as we get it. That is God's invitation for us to begin to put it to work, whatever it is, and to trust him. Now, let me read this. The man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Now, we all know this person. I don't necessarily mean one talent, but we know this person. Because this guy was ready. This speech was rehearsed. Because although he knew he could have at least tried to do something, he knew that he didn't do anything. But if he had the right excuse. And you hear it all the time, don't you? Man, my childhood was just really difficult. And I always say, welcome to the planet. Who had a difficult childhood? Anyone? Hey, it's all difficult, right? Well, if my wife would just, if she just do this or just, you know, just do that, I'd. Anybody ever hear that? All the women are raising their hands. The men are just going, I don't know. Well, if my boss was you know, more gracious, I mean, there's just all these excuses. And the guy with one talent says, oh, master, I knew what a difficult person you are. And I knew how high your expectations were. But you see the guy with one talent, and this is what we get. He didn't know the master that well. And that's painfully obvious in reading the story. He didn't know the master that well. He thought the master would be more upset if he lost that talent than if he just didn't do anything with it. Because if he had known the master well, the guy with five was willing to go out and work it even at the risk of losing the five, because he knew the master would be more honored in that than just not doing anything. Don't forget, Jesus is telling this story. Jesus is setting an expectation for us. So what is Jesus saying to us? You've all been given a talent at least, or talents. And I expect you to use them. And I expect you to use them at once. Don't wait. And I expect you not to have excuses. And I expect you to know me well enough that I would rather you go out and work that at the risk of losing them than just to hoard them and do nothing with them. The Bible doesn't say this, but you know why I think that is true? Because who ultimately gives the increase? Jesus. He gives the increase, right? So listen to me. So there's really not a risk of losing the talent. Because Jesus gives the increase. Jesus supplies the growth. Jesus does it. And so this story is not a story about great business strategy. This story is not a story of, you know, how good you are at something. This story is a story of obedience. The guy was given five, and he went out and he used the five that God gave him. God ultimately gives the increase, right? And it's really a reward for the faithfulness of that servant. And the guy with two, the two that he gains, they're really a reward for his faithfulness. Because I'm just willing to lay it out there on the line and say that if the guy that had been given one went out and worked it, he'd at least made one. He would have. God wasn't asking him for his intellect or his wisdom. God was asking him for his faithfulness. And that's what he's asking of us. That we'd be faithful, right? And I don't know the circumstances surrounding the servants and what was going on in their lives or how busy they might have been. I'm willing to bet they were as busy as we are. I'm willing to bet that there was some kind of struggle. I don't know how the guy with two talents felt. I don't know. I don't know how he felt at all. I can only imagine, and I can only imagine based on my own depravity, you know, the guy next to me gets five talents and then I get two. I know how to smile and be grateful. Well, thank you. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, I don't know, I didn't get five. I'm horrible, right? And wouldn't that have been something? The master comes back and the guy with two says, you know, you gave the other guy five and I don't know why you didn't give me five. So I just held on to it. Even if the guy had some feelings like that. And the reason I say that is because I think we struggle with that. But regardless of what his feelings were, guess what we know that he did? He went out and worked them. And he was faithful. And he wasn't worried at some point. He's no longer worried about what the guy next to him has been given. And maybe it was because of what the guy next to him got. Because when he got his two, he might have been thinking, well, gosh, I wonder why I didn't get five. And then like, whew, at least I got two. But this story is about faithfulness. Being faithful with what God has given you. And there's, you know, we can take this in a thousand directions. The story's about being faithful financially with what God, with what's been entrusted. I mean, that's the story as Jesus tells it. And I certainly think that's one of the applications. But I don't think it stops there. Because some of you, you've got one talent, two talents, five talents, whatever it is. And I wonder in what way you are using those talents to serve the kingdom of God. What are you doing? In what way are you being obedient? In what way are you serving? Because it matters. Because that's the expectation that God has for us. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from God. So if you've been given a gift, what can I tell you about it? Two things. What two things can I tell you about it? It's good and it's perfect. Well, how do we know that? Because God has given it to us. Now, whether we use it perfectly, whether we use it in a good way, that's up to our faithfulness and our obedience. I'll give you an example. Maybe you have a gifting in leadership, right? And I don't know why, but we always immediately think, oh, wow, that'd be a really good one. Oh, it's also a very dangerous one. Because you know what it means if you have a gifting in leadership? People will follow you wherever you go. So just based on that definition, I can't tell you that that's a good thing. What determines whether or not it's good? Where you lead. But all of us have been given a talent. And in what way is the kingdom of God benefiting from what God has given you? Now, here's the tough thing. And maybe it's a challenge that's unique to Hillview. Because it's easy to come to this church and to think, there are so many people here. Somebody will do it. Somebody will do it. Surely, right? It reminds me of a story I heard. In ancient times, there was a priest, and when it came a certain time of the month for the priest to receive payment, the way the people did that is they all brought kind of a jug full of wine. And the priest had this huge vat, right? And they would just pour that in there. They just lined up, and that was their payment. And they just poured it in there, right? And so after everybody's done, the priest grabs his cup. And he gets wine out of that vat. And all that comes out is water. You know why? Because each person thought, there are so many people. If I pour in a cup of water, nobody will ever know. But that's what everybody thought, right? You see that? So what God has given you, you're like the person, you're like the man who was given one talent. If you say, well, Hillview's so big, I mean, how could I add anything to it? Well, if you believe what you have is from you, then maybe what you have to add is nothing. But if you believe that what you have is from God, then He's given it for a reason and a purpose. And so in what way are you using what God has given you? Because this story clearly illustrates God's expectation is that we'll be faithful and obedient with what God has called us to do. We'll be faithful and obedient with the things that God has given us. And it matters. And it's important, or God wouldn't have done it. I promise you, God was never in a position where He gave somebody something and by virtue of guilt gave somebody else something too. That's never happened. That everything He gives with the expectation that it will be used. And I want to tell you this tonight. With all the love in my heart, I want to tell you this. If you are not using what God has given you, there's a whole part of God that you're completely missing out on. You see, we come to know God through His Word, through experience, and it's being faithful with what He's given us. And did you catch what happened to the guy with five talents and the guy with two? What did the master say to them? Well done. You've been faithful with these things. I'm going to give you even more. So let me close with this. So I asked the question earlier, who's ever said to God, I want something better or I want something more? Well, the Bible is teaching us here how to get that. Now listen, don't take something from that I didn't say. Because they were faithful with what God gave them, God entrusted them with even more. And so you know what I hope our prayer is tonight? Give me more, Lord. Give me more. Because if that's an earnest and sincere prayer in your heart, then you know what to do. If you want more, if you want God to entrust you more with more things, be faithful with what you have. Be faithful with what God's already given you. Jesus tells the story. And it's a powerful story about that God has given us all something, and God expects all of us to be faithful and obedient with what He's given us. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to You. And Lord, I thank You for these truths that are shared in this word. The truth that every one of us have been given something. The truth that You actually do have expectations for us as Your sons and daughters. That we would be faithful and obedient with what You've given us. And Lord, I pray for us tonight. Because Lord, I know in a room this size, there are probably a lot here tonight that are doing nothing with what You've given them. And so Lord, I don't want to quench the Spirit by giving specific direction of what people can do and how they can serve. But I pray that Your Holy Spirit will lead each person. How to be faithful and how to be obedient with what You've given us. We love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Let's stand together. This altar is open. I want to invite you to come tonight.